think the presentation on the... All right, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Nathan, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Councilmember Laraway?
Here.
Council President Bruce?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And before we get into the business tonight, I just wanted to let everybody know that we lost a CUNA staple yesterday. Dwayne Yamamoto passed away yesterday morning. He was actually a mayor from 1976 tonight through 1979. So he's the guy that had to go through all the heck back in the old days to get the wastewater treatment system built out south. So gonna miss him. He was a great man. He will be dearly missed by everyone. So anyway, next item is the consent agenda. Any questions or comments? Or?
I move that we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded for approval. Is there any discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us to public comment. I didn't have anybody signed up to make public comment. Is there somebody who wishes to address the council? All right, seeing none. External reports, Bloom presentation. Did I say that acronym right?
Yes, you did.
Oh, awesome. Good. Yes.
School. I'm sorry about that. My name is Terry Ryan, and I'm CEO of the education nonprofit Bloom. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you all tonight, and I'll quickly go through what Bloom is, and then my colleague Keith is going to tell you kind of why we're here. Next slide, please. I don't know who's in charge of that. Is that me? All right, guys, I'm catching up. So Bloom is a nonprofit. We've been working. I was recruited by the J.A. and Catherine Albertson's Family Foundation about 12 years ago to come to Idaho. They had a vision of this is a fast-growing state. There's opportunities for new school development, and was recruited to come here to help start mostly public charter schools, but not exclusively. We've done some work with a couple of private schools, and we've done some work with some school districts on what under our law, we're called innovation schools. We're kind of here because we believe exactly what we say. School choice helps families, children, educators achieve more and do better. How do we do that? We develop innovative leaders. We grow successful school models. We share research and learning innovations. And we provide a lot of technical assistance to the schools that we work with. This in 10 years' time, we've invested almost $100 million in new school development across the state of Idaho. A big chunk of this, more than half, is the Albertson's Family Foundation investment. We've had others invest, and when we say investment, it may be donating land, it may be donating steel, it may be donating different forms of expertise. We've also received a federal charter school program grant that we're responsible for managing. We've actually received one of $22 million, another of about $24 million. We're managing those for the state of Idaho. And this has meant we've helped to open schools across our state. Be primarily where most of the population is, but we've actually worked to open schools as far north as Bonner's Ferry, where we're helping a school open in 2026. Island Park, that's number four. And then schools in and around the Treasure Valley, down along the Snake River, up through basically Rigby. And we've had a lot of support from our legislature, our governor. We've had great support from our members of Congress in helping us apply for and receive federal funding to help open public charter schools across our state. I think we're the only state that has had every member of its congressional delegation. We only have four, but all four actually support the work that we do. For us, this is all about talent, and then we figure out how to get buildings built, and we figure out how to fund them, that sort of thing. But really, what we try to do is identify the best talent that we can get to run these schools, and we have a fellowship, and that's where we start. We identify talent, they apply, they can get fellowships. That's basically a year or two to plan the school, to work with communities, to work with partners, to figure out what type of school is needed. All in, we're up to, I think, 36, 37 schools we've helped fund. We've created about 18,000 new school seats in the last 10 years. And with that, I will turn it over to my colleague, Keith Donahue.
Thank you. So I'm Keith Donahue. I'm with Bloom. I'm a director of school strategy. Thanks for having us tonight. So Terry kind of laid out who Bloom is. I'm going to talk a little bit about why we wanted to come speak with you. So, you know, as Terry shared, if we're interested in opening a school, it's two, maybe even 3 years before the school opens that we start our work so that we can make sure it ends up being a, you know, great school. And what we've learned in 10 years of doing this work is it takes, you know, it really is all about partnerships. I've kind of listed, it's not an extensive list, but the key partners, you know, continuing support from the foundation, our CSP grant. City leaders really are an important part of this. You're doing the permitting and approval. We want to be, you know, we're going to have our schools here for 50 plus years. So we want to come into communities where it makes sense. We're fortunate in this situation. A big reason we're here is we've got a developer in the area who has made an offer to donate the facility, the parcels of land, which is a huge benefit to us, obviously, to have that cost taken care of and think through all of that with us and put the schools where they need to be, where growth may be. So the fact that we have a developer wanting to partner with us is a big part of that too. Then school leaders, as Terry mentioned, and then ultimately us. So we kind of see this as the group that spends the time, and, you know, if everyone's on board and wants to have a school, you know, in the area that makes sense for the community, that's kind of what we look to have put together in order to move forward. So looking at CUNA specifically, we've been sort of focusing on initially. We have two of our leading networks that we work with of those 30-plus schools that we've worked on. GEM Prep, they've got 7 schools across the state, and SAGE International has 2 right now. The leadership of both of those are very interested in locating in CUNA. And so those are the two schools we're talking about in our portfolio, bringing to CUNA as two schools, you know, if this all comes together. SAGE would look to do a K-8 with about 465 students. Whereas GEM Prep is a K-12 model, and they would be closer to 574 students. These would not open for a couple few years, again, if this all makes sense to everybody, and then they would build to capacity over the next, you know, 5 to 7 years. So you're talking 10 years out, you know, before these are at capacity, hopefully meeting the needs of growth in the community. That's the goal, is we're kind of the part of the growth solution. So that's kind of like, that's what we're looking at right now and studying real hard. We're putting together, we're working with some consultants and planners to sort of scope out what we think the demand is and all of those types of things, and we'd be happy to share those once they're complete. And then, you know, kind of looking beyond that, if that goes well and we're successful putting some high-performing schools in the area and there's still growth in the area and there's a need for more, you know, we're open to doing more as long as we still have the resources, you know. And so if you, based on stats from the CUNA district, their metrics kind of show one school-aged child for every 2 homes. That's kind of a gross metric. So, you know, if over the next 15 years, you know, and this looks at CUNA and beyond, surrounding areas. Say there's 10,000 new homes in this area in the Western Treasure Valley. You know, that's 5,000 more kids. You know, we want to be a partner in that solution to manage that growth and provide choice opportunities to this community and others. So again, as I noted, we're going to consult with Eschbacher Consulting. They're out of Denver. They're kind of the national experts in this to say, what do we think the demand is going to be? What's the timing of that demand? How do we build the schools smart to meet that demand and go from there? And we just love to do that in partnership with this community. I think we stayed in our 10 minutes. That is our presentation, kind of who we are and our interest in building high-performing schools here in this area. So if there are any questions for us?
Good. Questions?
No.
Well, that certainly is a situation we're in, is trying to figure out what to do with kids. So school district does kind of all they can based on what the public allows them. And, this goes beyond that. So
one more comment, if I could.
Yeah.
I should have included this, is we do all of this without property tax levies. Charter schools do not pass property tax levies. So we use all these other resources and tools we've put together, and then the generosity of the foundation. So we build these schools and launch them without using local property tax revenue. So that's probably an important thing to distinguish us from.
And then I noticed, I think it was one of the two that you had mentioned there does K through 8. Do they expand in the future to K through 12, or what happens?
That's a great question.
The
so they have two schools right now, one in Boise and one in Middleton. Middleton is K-11 this year and will grow to K-12. Their other two are K-12, but they wanted to start as a K-8, but the developer is donating enough land where they could then decide to grow into a K-12 if that's what the community wants. Otherwise, our thought is they could feed into that GEM prep school or the local high school. But if we get, 7-8 years down the road and there's demand for their high school program that they offer, they then would build a phase two of the facility and meet that need. So they're holding that just to be conservative. We try to be really smart about how we deploy the foundation's sure. funds. So, but yes, they're typically K-12, and they would certainly be open to expanding to that if that's what the community wanted and there was kids.
Yep. Okay.
Question.
Yes, go ahead.
How do they do enrollment in these? This is just like a public charter school, or is it, what do they call it, lottery?
That's exactly correct. Yeah, okay. Public charter schools, all by lottery, all kids are welcome. Kids in the primary attendance zone, which you get to define, get a priority. Kids already enrolled obviously get renewed. Siblings after year one get a priority. Children of staff get a priority. But yes, all by lottery.
Thank you.
Anything further?
Oh, no, sir.
All right. Thank you very
much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
That takes us to public hearings. Case number 2403-0A. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, Cuna Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street, Cuna. The Planning and Zoning Department requests a zoning text amendment application. The text changes include modifications to the Development Regulations Code to include Title 5, Chapter 4, Section 4, correcting a Scrivener error on the decision-making authority and process table from the previous city code update, case number 23-01-OA. Title 5, Chapter 9, Part 2, Subdivision Approval Process, proposing changes to the time extension expiration for preliminary and final plats, allowing for 2 years to obtain the city engineer's signature on phase one of the preliminary plat and 2 years to obtain said signature between final plat phases. This proposed change also moves time extensions and reinstatements into its own code section. Title 5, Chapter 10, Section 8, completion time, proposing changes to the bonding process for landscaping, and Title 5, Chapter 10, Section 13, reducing the landscape buffer width along expressways, highways, or entry corridors abutting a residential district from 50 feet to 40 feet. And with that, I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Doug?
No, sir.
I do.
Okay.
Doug, these are some of the stuff that we had previously talked about when we updated our code. Time extension expiration, things like that.
Yep. For the record, Doug Hansen, Cuna Planning and Zoning. So, yes, previously time extensions for preliminary plats were in a preliminary plat section, and time extensions for final plats were in the final plat section. This consolidates them into one section and just sets the standards at the same. Whether it's for a preliminary plat for phase one or between phases, the city engineer, once you obtain signature on Mylar, you have 2 years to attain the signature on the subsequent phase. That also grants us a little bit more control on moving the plats through the processes, so we don't have to rely on like the recorder's office getting them recorded. That's not held against an applicant.
Okay.
We can control the timing better if it's between city engineer signatures.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Okay, anything further for Doug? All right, this is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody signed up to testify. Is there somebody who wishes to testify in this matter? All right, seeing none. So that does open the public hearing, so free to ask any more questions you have of staff or...
No, I think for me, when we did the previous public hearings, we discussed some of this. So I knew that these updates were coming. So, do you have anything? I make a motion that we close the public hearing, move to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion on that motion? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
You guys didn't have any thoughts or concerns, or it's just an update, so. Mm-hmm. I make a motion that we approve case number 24-03-OA.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Is there any discussion on that motion? Go ahead and do, Nathan, would you pull the council on this one, please?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carried. That takes us to item 7A, consideration to approve resolution R18-2025, amending the City of CUNA Downtown Design Standards. Doug Hansen.
Mayor and Council, for the record, Doug Hansen, Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The Planning and Zoning Department requests a proposed amendment to the City of CUNA Downtown Design Standards. The Downtown Design Standards were initially approved by the City Council on July 2nd, 2024. The requested changes are as follows. First, the ability to request design review committee approval for building colors located within the Old Town District, Neighborhood Business District, and Railroad District outside of the approved color palette already provided. And second, the inclusion of 4th Street improvements required upon site development or redevelopment from Linder Avenue to School Avenue. The 4th Street improvement concept study professional services agreement was approved by council on February 20th, 2024, via resolution R09-2024. The 4th Street concept design went through several iterations to address the design standards and needs of both the city and Ada County Highway District. The 4th Street corridor is located within an identified sub-area of a neighborhood business district intended for a mix of residential and commercial uses while maintaining existing historic settings. Typical sections and 2D layouts were created for each iteration to best demonstrate the proposed lane widths, on-street parking, and bicycle pedestrian facilities for each concept. The complete report is available to be accessed via the application materials link within the packet. And with that, I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug.
I do, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Are you seeing a lot of these where they're requesting colors outside of what we've already set, or is this just set the process for them in the future?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. So we have had one local business, 346 West 4th Street. They did return to Planning and Zoning to seek a retroactive facade approval for the color palette. The way we see it is, the downtown design standards have a relatively muted plain color palette, and if they follow that palette, they're able to request an administrative approval, but some colors outside of that palette could be seen as more subjective than objective, and we would rather that go before a decision-making body of the city rather than go before them for an administrative approval. So it's just one more step in the process if they're requesting something outside of what's already provided to them through the downtown design standards manual.
Didn't have anything further to...
No.
Okay.
Well, I got a maybe an ignorant question, but maybe Doug could clear it up. This district's 1, 2, and 3, and 4, how much of that is the urban renewal?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, I will give that over to Morgan Treasure.
Thank you.
For the record, Morgan Treasure, Economic Development Director and Administrator of the CUNA Urban Renewal Agency.
In the downtown district, actually all of that is in the West Urban Renewal District. The West Urban Renewal District covers what you would typically think of the downtown and actually goes a little bit outside of those boundaries in some areas to capture properties that we anticipated being good for redevelopment.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything further?
No, sir. Make a motion that we approve resolution R18-2025.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. That takes us to consideration to approve ordinance 2025-05, appointed officials, and I'll go ahead and read the ordinance. An ordinance of the City of CUNA, Ada County, Idaho, adding a new Chapter 19 to Title 1 of the CUNA City Code to designate positions which will be appointed by the mayor, providing the savings and severability, directing the city clerk, and providing for an effective date. Nancy Stauffer.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This ordinance is basically a cleanup, adding the chapter to city code on how we appoint directors and which directors are to be appointed positions. So it clarifies it, cleans it up, and clarifies what the actual process is so that it's more sort of a rule following, I guess, of exactly how it's done. Protocol. And I will, pardon?
Protocol.
Yeah. And I will stand for any questions.
Okay. So the one thing that I would like to see, we've run into this before, on this it talks about that the council will have an executive session and be provided information, and then at the next meeting we'll consider approval. I'd kind of like to see that we could actually, after that executive session, have an agenda item so we could come back out and vote on it at that same meeting so we don't postpone it another 2 weeks. In the case of Adam coming on, he had a lot of things he had to finish up, so that extended that another couple of weeks to get him here and in place so he could give notice, knowing that he had a job. You don't want to give notice before you know you have a place to go. So if we could add that in there, that would make me feel a little more comfortable about it, usually, especially in the director positions, because they generally want at least 2 weeks or a month. So if it's a month and then we got to wait another 2 weeks after that meeting for approval, then it's a month and a half. And
question?
Yes. I thought you were giving me a piece.
No. I was thinking it was okay, but then yes, I had to think. That works pretty good for me as far as people we're trying to hire. But is there some kind of situation where we're going to come where we have that same rule for dismissing employees?
And that is in as well. It's appointing and unappointing. It's both stated. It's just that for unappointing, really, there was no change.
It seemed like they would have some kind of notice of their termination.
They are given notice of their termination before it comes to you. They're placed on leave of absence.
So you're saying they're put on terminal or leave of absence prior to our executive meeting, but if we vote no, they're back.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure there was
yes
clarity on that.
It's paid administrative leave.
Okay.
Until your decision has been made.
Clarity. Thank you.
And now, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
Mark, how would we need to amend it in the motion, or how would we go about, or would we table it and do it next meeting? What's the legal process of doing that?
Thanks. Mark Bybee, city attorney. So I chimed in because first I was wanting to clarify Mayor read the ordinance. There's a resolution that goes hand in hand with this. I don't know if everybody jumped to look at the resolution too, because much of the procedure is set forth there. But ultimately, if we're going to approve like the ordinance and policy today, it would be pretty hard without knowing exactly what section's amended and how it's amended, because I'd say we need to strike through and actually rewrite the words to what they need to be. And I don't think this is really the ideal setting to do that. So I'd recommend probably tabling to make the change. And Mayor, I'm going to pick on you a little bit just because you kind of started talking about what you're looking for. It sounded to me like you're getting more at the policy section or policy resolution. Do you know kind of what section you looked at and you felt was problematic that you'd, because it just helped me and Nancy, if we're going back and revising it, to know where you saw the issue to make sure we were actually correcting the right thing.
So in 1.6.1.4, it talks about, I recommend for appointment and be presented to the City Council in executive session. City Council members may provide feedback to the mayor in executive session. After hearing City Council, and then 1.615, after hearing City Council feedback, the mayor will make a selection and extend an offer of employment to an appointment to the candidate. And then 1.6.1.6, at the next regularly scheduled City Council meeting, the agenda will include a business item for council to consent to the appointment.
Okay.
And maybe that's okay. Maybe it's all covered in there already. I can make a selection and extend an offer of employment to the candidate, but does that really guarantee the candidate a job until the council gives consent to make the appointment? So it's all between 1.6.1.4 and 1.6.1.6.
If I'm understanding, and to make this clear, because I think agenda-wise we jump forward because we read their ordinance, we are in the resolution now. And so I think need to make that clear just for the record. But when I guess if I'm understanding right, you want to have to be able to have the executive session and appoint the person in the same meeting. Am I understanding that correct?
Yes, after the executive session. So we'd have an actual line item on the agenda so that people know we're coming out of executive session to have a discussion on
the appointment.
So then basically I would get the consent, and then I would make an offer to the candidate so that they could do what they need to do to get in process to come here.
Got it. In that situation, you'd still like you would, an offer of employment would not be extended pre-executive session, because I think that's kind of was one of the things that set this off and looking for this section of policy is to make sure, because I think everybody agrees it would not be ideal to have that executive session having an offer extended and then have the executive session not go as anticipated, right?
Right.
And so I think if I'm understanding the intent is still that an offer of employment wouldn't be extended before that. But the concern I see, and this is kind of part of what went into, obviously Nancy's presenting this, I did a lot of the drafting. The concern I have is if you go and make the appointment right then, there still must be an offer of employment at some point. And it's possible that person may say, I want time, you know, to think this over. I'm not accepting an appointment. You know what I mean? There could be, and that's the part I was a little concerned of, like, how do the mechanics of that work, right? Because if you go right back on, there'd be need to be some expectation that they're going to be potentially appointed that date, some expectation that they're going to offer it. Otherwise, I wouldn't want to go through the appointment process to have them decline the appointment. Does that make sense?
Well, and so, I mean, we kind of do it that way only. So by the time we get to the point to have had myself and the directors go through and do interviews and we talk to all the candidates, we're pretty much at the point of already having determined that they're interested in coming here.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's down to they need to let their employer know that they're leaving and coming here. So my only hang up is... I've already determined that they're interested in coming, letting them know that I have to get council approval before I can actually say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it perhaps it's covered in here in the last part, the 1.6 is simply for confirmation of something that council has already talked about.
Yeah.
But well, I think it's just that last little piece. So if I was to go ahead and make an offer and tell them to come here and they turn in their notice and then we get here and then for some reason council says, we didn't like that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my only hang up is I don't want to put somebody in a position after offering them a job and then potentially.
No, I see. I understand. I trying to think of the way to, like, and I didn't review this immediately again before this meeting, so I'm trying to remember the nuance here as we're talking.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'd ask is a little time to make sure that how this works is right. And I think some of what I'm even seeing, and this may be what gives you pause, is the phrase like in 1.6.1.6, it says at the next regular meeting. And I don't even know that it needs to be, you know, at the next, like, I think maybe even some of that, deleting some of that language, because it could be possibly in the same meeting as long. It's really just about the sequencing and making sure that person's really ready to accept, because there's an offer of employment. Like, if it's not extended yet, you could be offering the particular salary terms, particular benefit terms, and you might get rejections after, you know. And I even saw the executive session as possibly being like, okay, this is who you offer to first, and if they reject, this is offer number two. You know, those could be some of the discussions that could kind of happen in that setting. And so having it kind of moving, that's why I didn't necessarily anticipate. You could always, maybe there would be circumstances where you could do it in the same meeting, but I could see it ended up getting broken up depending on how that subsequent interaction goes with the applicants.
Well, and that's kind of my, that's my hang up there, is just between me making an offer and making sure somebody wants to come here, getting council's tentative approval in an executive session, that they basically, all they're doing, they're not really making a decision, they're just telling me that they don't have a hang up with what
you're doing, yeah, with
what's going on, and then that 2 week to come back and have a meeting to actually confirm it. And
yeah,
I just don't know. I mean, it almost, if you could actually read it to work that way.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that, I mean, we're trying to clarify, so I don't want to make it confusing.
No, I hear where you're coming from, Mayor, and I think it definitely, there's some revisions to be made, and it's just, I wish I could say there's like a super clean way to dial it in, but where a council has, you know, the ability to consent, I think there's always going to be a little bit of clunkiness, like sure, using that word. But it's not like, you know, where an employer in a private setting can just go, yep, I'm hiring this person, I'm extending them. Like, you got to go through this consent process. And it just, you don't know what you're going to find at that. You're right. And so it's like, I think it's really important. And what I was hoping to express here is that we, you know, mayor, the staff members that interact with the applicants, that they don't overrepresent the city's position until that executive session happens, right?
Yeah.
It's possible you could sequence in a way that you could get it done in one meeting. I think it's possible. I think I have the word phrase regularly scheduled meeting. I think that's a problem. I'd even like to maybe say in the next meeting, because that could be a special meeting, right? Or just in a meeting, you know, just something that doesn't necessarily force the delay in time once the city's ready to act. And I think that's maybe some of the rub, is it almost forces a delay of time how it's written right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think especially if it's a position that needs to be filled.
Promptly.
Yeah, promptly. Or if someone had left. Because they do most of the vetting prior to us having the discussion in the executive session. So a lot of that's already going to be decided. We just need to vote as a council, have the discussion here, and say yay or nay.
Yeah.
So you want me to table it?
Yeah, table it. Mayor, I might talk with you some, make sure we get this right
okay.
The next time. Talk with Nancy.
I'll see if I can work on some wording that I think will work. I tried the other day, but it just kind of didn't seem to make sense after I put something in there. So
okay.
Maybe we'll work together.
It's even okay if you just throw a comment in the Word document that says, this is what I want. And then I can try and make the words make sense. We'll have some back and forth if we need to. That's fine.
And I, it's not an emergency. I don't have any directors that we're going to fire today. So. I think we're all right.
Are you getting excited there, John? If I may have a comment, yes. Nancy Stauffer, HR director. So in 1.6.1.6 is almost unnecessary, because when we go through our process and we do the interviews, me and the mayor will go through all of the applications, resumes, all of that. We may do preliminary either phone hearing or interviews depending on where the applicant lives, then do an in-person interview with the hiring panel, which is generally all of the directors together. We have a hiring range when we offer or when we post a job. So there's a minimum and maximum that is for that job. On the application, the applicant will state what their requirements are monetarily wise, either for benefits or salary. And then those decisions are all but finalized in that second or third or fourth interview, depending on how it goes. And the only thing left is to bring the information to you guys. This is who we interviewed. This is our choice. You know, we would like to seek your approval, your consent to appoint. The only thing that hasn't happened is an offer of employment. And what the mayor wants is to not wait another 2 weeks. We lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, in certain positions, we don't have an extra 2 weeks. So I think really just the ability to come back out of that executive session so that the next following business day we would be able to make an actual offer.
And confirm that council all is on the same page.
Yep.
Once.
Well, would it be inconceivable?
We could do a special meeting.
Wouldn't it be inconceivable to just offer them a contingent offer based on the results of the meeting tonight?
Mm-hmm. We can do that.
And at 8 o'clock we'll have an answer?
Mark Bivey, city attorney. That's actually part of the interesting thing with like how state code's structured and some of the weird language. I think the mayor can appoint them entirely and hire them pre-consent. It's just that if you don't get the consent, you have a really awkward problem. And so if in the executive session he feels he has enough direction on how he could go, he could actually complete the appointment and that person could start working, and then the consent could come post-employment beginning. Does that make sense? And so it's just unfortunately like this strange language in state code that we're trying to replicate, you know, a lot of that in policy, because kind of giving more perspective, state code is limited on what positions are appointed. I think it's city clerk, city attorney, and city engineer. I think that's everybody that's treasurer. And so it's a smaller list, and so this is kind of capturing that for the other departments that this city has, and apply that same thing to all departments. And so I'm trying to keep it consistent with how state code works, but also offer some explanation on process that's lacking in state code, because it just, you know, it says mayor appoints, city council consents, but it speaks nothing to order or how you get to that. And so you could really, mayor can appoint without getting city council's consent first, but then if the mayor doesn't get it, it creates a very uncomfortable situation to deal with.
And I think that's what he's trying to avoid.
Yeah.
You know, worst case scenario. Yeah.
And I mean, I see it. Yeah. If the council all of a sudden diverts a completely different direction before, you know, between the two, that's a hard one to plan for. You'd think that you could leave that executive session with a pretty good idea of where they're going, but I get what you're saying, Mayor. Sometimes all of a sudden things blow up and things pop up out of nowhere that you didn't expect between, and all of a sudden the council, who you thought you understood where they're going, has a different opinion in 2 weeks.
Can I?
And we've never had a problem with that. The only thing we've had questioned is actually the process,
mm-hmm.
Which is what Nancy's trying to clean up, and I appreciate that. I think there's a way to do it. I just don't know exactly what that right way is, and still follow codes like you are.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
Can I table both these at the same time, or do they need to be individually tabled?
I think one motion's fine to table them both.
Okay. The fourth should be fine. Next meeting, the 4th?
Oh, yes, that should be fine.
I make a motion that we table ordinance 2025-05 and resolution R19-2025 to a date certain of March 4th, 2025.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Consideration to approve ordinance 2025-01. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and amending Chapter 4, Section 3 of Title 5 CUNA City Code, Application Requirements Review and Fees, and amending Chapter 8, Section 4 of Title 5 CUNA City Code Site Notice, and amending Chapter 5, Part 1403 of Title 5 CUNA City Code, Parking Space Requirements, and amending Chapter 8, Part 1603 of Title 5 CUNA City Code, Stay of Proceedings, and amending Chapter 9, Part 602 of Title 5 CUNA City Code, Lot Split, and amending Chapter 10, Section 6 of Title 5 CUNA City Code, Installation and Minimum Standards, providing a severability clause, and directing the city clerk and providing an effective date.
I make a motion that we waive three readings of ordinance 2025-01.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carried.
I make a motion that we approve ordinance 2025-01.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the ordinance. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carried.
Make a motion we approve the summary publication.
Second.
Of ordinance 2025-01.
I still second it.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the summary publication of ordinance 2025-01. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance 2025-02, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, making certain findings and amending Chapter 13, Section 1 of Title 5 CUNA City Code, making a violation of the Development Regulations Code punishable by the administrative citation rather than a misdemeanor citation, and providing language directing enforcement of ordinance by director, and providing a severability clause, and directing the city clerk, and providing an effective date.
Make a motion that we waive three readings of ordinance 2025-02.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive three readings of 2025-02. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion carries.
I make a motion that we approve ordinance 2025-02.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
I move that we approve the summary publication of ordinance 2025-02.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for summary publication. Any further discussion on that motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance 2025-03. A municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real property to wit Ada County Assessor's Parcel, number R732100120, owned by CUNA Rural Fire District, within the unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of CUNA, into the City of CUNA, Idaho, and establishing the zoning classifications of said real property, and directing the city engineer and city clerk, and providing an effective date.
Make a motion that we waive three readings of ordinance 2025-03.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of 2025-03. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the motion carries.
Make a motion that we approve ordinance 2025-03.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for the approval of the ordinance. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance 2025-04, a municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council of the City of Cuna, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real property, to wit, Ada County Assessor's parcel number S200611005, owned by Daniel Isbell, within unincorporated area of Ada County and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of Cuna into the City of Cuna, Idaho, and establishing the zoning classifications of said real property and directing the city engineer and city clerk and providing an effective date.
Make a motion that we waive the three readings of ordinance 2025-04.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries.
I move that we approve ordinance 2025-04.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval of ordinance 2025-04. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That is all we had on the agenda for tonight. The next meeting, March 4th, starts with the annual Board of Corrections. Is that correct? So that meeting will actually start at 5:30.
Okay.
Anything further?
The choir for the Cuna School District High School came down and was part of the memorial service that they put on. And so if you go and watch it, you can find them at the end. They did amazing. There were people with teary eyes. So it was good. And then Melba's government class will be down there tomorrow, which should be interesting. Good. So.
And then I'll just make a comment, too. I appreciate Representative Bruce's first session. He's done a real good job, I think, of making contact and getting information and finding out things about bills that are going by. And I appreciate that kind of communication. It makes it a lot easier for us to keep up with what's going on. So. I think you're doing a good job, and I appreciate that.
Still a lot of session left. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Anybody have anything else? All right. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
I try to call so I don't.
You do anything for points.